This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. Past 3 weeks have been fantastic weeks of discussion surrounding around what God is doing in Western New York through His church. And God is a God on mission, and God is a God who is moving constantly. And as the church begins to get up underneath what He is doing, we're seeing Him work in so many different ways for the purpose of the gospel, Ryan. And the last 3-4 weeks have been just fantastic weeks, starting out with Dan Trippi and John Longwall and Josh Hamlin, and just excited to see a bunch of pastors coming together.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. For me, it's just an honor and a privilege to begin to be able to put on display some of the relationships and the friendships that I've had over the last handful of years. Not just me, but just seeing the churches come together and being able to have honest dialogue. Mm-hmm. It's just been incredible to see, and I look forward to continuing to be able to tell stories about what God is doing in and through His people here in Western New York.
Today, Christ Together Radio, we're going to bring you a very interesting conversation, one that I've been looking forward to. Quite honestly, Ryan, the last few weeks, this from the very beginning of the show's conception and ideas, as we began to talk, this is a conversation that interested me. Mm-hmm. This is a conversation I wanted to have, and doing this show for this conversation alone is well worth it. And so this is kind of we're kind of crescendoing here.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about it. We've invited Pastor Andre Clark of New Direction Christian Fellowship on Fillmore Avenue in Buffalo to come join us. And Andre, welcome.
Thank you. Thank
Christ
you so
together.
Much. I'm so glad to be here today.
Well, we're honored to have you. And also your brother, Vincent, will be joining us on the phone in just a couple of minutes. Vincent is with the Buffalo Urban League and also with your church as well, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so we're super excited to talk to you guys. Really, really sharp African-American men who have come together and are going to give us some context. Mm-hmm. These guys are the real deal. They can give us some context to stuff that, quite honestly, we just don't understand. Mm-hmm. and viewpoints that we don't understand. And I'm not just speaking of what's going on in the world. We're here in middle October now, in the fall, and it's getting beautiful, and the leaves are obviously gorgeous, and there's just all kinds of change happening around us, but our world is changing too.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of turmoil, it seems like. And so to kind of get some context to that, to get some real conversation that's not agenda-driven, that's not angry, that's just like, hey, look at it this way. It's really important, isn't it, Ryan?
It is. The reality is, and this is, here's why it's important to me. Number one is I am crazy enough to believe that God wants to see every man, woman, and child in Western New York. 1.2 million people have repeated opportunities to hear, to see, and respond to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Mm. I'm incredibly passionate about that. What that calls us toward is just an understanding of saturation means all of Western New York. Mm. The rural areas and the suburban areas, yes. Urban areas too.
Yeah, we tend to want to think Amherst. Yeah, we're good, man. We got Amherst. No.
Yeah, no. It's the full of all God's people. And a way that it was positioned to me, and if God was to write a letter to the Church of Western New York, who would He write it to?
Right.
Well, I know He'd write it to this man. I know He'd write it to Andre in New Direction Christian Fellowship. I know He'd write it to our church at the chapel. Yeah. I know He'd write it to your church, Grace on Egger. Yeah. There's a lot of churches He'd write that letter to, and we need to have time to time conversations come up that require these type of platforms.
All right, you're going to want to stick around. Ryan Cozy, Andre Clark, Vincent Clark joining us on the phone. Christ Together Radio. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Brett Larson can leap tall buildings, stop trains with his bulging biceps. Just who wrote this script? This did come from the general manager's desk, did it not? Yeah. Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I got nothing else.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm your host, Brett Larson, with my co-host, Ryan Cozy. We're talking with Andre Clark and Vincent Clark today. Andre is the chief shepherd and pastor of New Direction Christian Fellowship on Fillmore.
Chief. I've
the chief.
Shep.
The chief.
He said they call him Shep, which I think is the coolest title. That's great. Shep. And his brother, Vincent Clark, is joining us via phone, and we're going to talk today about a number of different things, but it surrounds kind of the well, let's just be honest, the racial divide that was and still is in many ways in the church. And you guys, Ryan and Andre and Vincent, have had conversations that I haven't been a part of. I'm just coming in now fresh.
Right.
So you've got a history of coming together with all of your kind of looking at each other a little funny, kind of like, okay, what do you really want from me? Mm-hmm. And I want to go back and be a fly on the wall because I didn't get to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And so Ryan and Andre and Vincent, welcome to Christ Together Radio.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. So I want to take us back to that initial conversation. Tell me what it looked like. Ryan, even from walking in the room, you know,
sure.
Tell me what you felt and maybe you guys what you thought of him, and let's go from there.
Well, why don't I do this? Well, let me talk about just my on-road into it, and then I'd love to, you know, hear your perspective and Vincent's perspective. So basically what happened was a few years ago, I was a part of an opportunity. There was there was some sort of urban development conference that happened here at the convention center. And I was invited to sit in on a kind of a breakout session, and it was talking about the Renaissance of Buffalo. And so I don't talk about this often, but you know my background. My doctoral work is in quantitative stats and demographics. I study numbers, okay? And, you know, I was fascinated with the conversation around the Renaissance of Buffalo. But, you know, in this breakout session, I had a chance to ask one of the urban planners. I said, you know, it's great that you're talking about the Renaissance of Buffalo, but what about the East Side? And, you know, I wouldn't say nonchalantly, but it certainly wasn't with any measure of sensitivity that I would think was required. He said, well, you know, every city has a dumping ground. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, I'm like, that is just, now this guy's not a believer, okay? Mm-hmm. But I just thought, that is not okay with me. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but like, you know, so what do I do in that moment? I do what I knew how to do. I started gathering information about the East Side. And I started comparing it to what was going on in the city.
You went all nerd on it.
Yeah, a little bit, but it was what I knew how to do.
When Ryan just to pause real quick, when Ryan starts saying like his background, everybody just goes, "What?" All you have to say is, "I'm a nerd," and no, I'm just kidding.
So, but I, you know, I wrote this, you know, in the academic world, you write these things called white papers,
right.
You know, and so it was just an idea around, like, look at the disparity between what all the media is covering about the Renaissance of Buffalo, and I'm telling you, like, I for 5 years, I had been driving any free time I had, I drove the East Side of Buffalo, and just was,
yeah.
I said, you know, I can't pretend like I understand this community. I got to drive the streets. And I prayed over these streets. I mean, just praying, crying, not even knowing what systemically all that was going on here. But I was not okay with the idea that, that you know, an urban planning conference could come to my city, right?
And say
well, you know, every city's got a dumping ground. But the more you start to look at it, you realize, like, look, if there's a renaissance, I want it to be a renaissance for everyone. Mm-hmm. And when I looked at the East Side, you know, I could write this paper, but the humbling reality was I didn't have a relationship. Mm-hmm. So I had this information, but I had no audience. Now, I had audiences with friends in the suburbs, but you know, when suburban folks start talking about how they're going to change the city, it gets scary real quick because a lot of times they just don't have an understanding of what's going on in the city. And so just by God's grace, through a relationship, Dr. Chuck Massey, he was very instrumental in allowing me to have to sit at a table with Pastor Jeff Carter and Pastor Jeff Horde. Andre, I think Vincent was there at that meeting as well, a handful of folks. And that's kind of how I was introduced to these gentlemen. And I would be interested to see what their perspective was at that point. But that's kind of how I got involved in this whole process. It was being in a meeting. In addition to that, it was writing a paper, but coming to the humbling realization I didn't have a relationship. And so I just began to pray, God, would you open doors? Because if this is something that you want to see change, I want to see it change. But I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I need to have friendships. I need to have deep relationships. If this is going to change, and the church is going to be that trajectory changer of the East Side, not just business people, not just development people, but what if the church stepped in and began to contribute to that renaissance on the East Side? So,
Andre or Vincent, any thoughts?
Go ahead, Vince. Is he still
there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
There he is.
I say somewhat tongue-in-cheek that I remind Ryan that we used to have these meetings before the meeting because there was a level of uncertainty around what the genuine motivation was for having this conversation.
So, Vincent, if you wouldn't mind, can you take us to a meeting before the meeting and kind of what that discussion was?
Sure.
What did you think of Ryan?
Sure. I'll take. Well, the meeting before the meeting happened before we had a chance to meet Ryan. So we didn't know. I came into a meeting. I didn't know who I was going to be meeting with.
Mm-hmm.
So when Ryan comes to the table, we just know we have a meeting with a pastor from a suburban church.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of trepidation. Like, okay, what do they want? What is their motivation? Why do they want to meet with us? Because the reality is, I don't recall too many times where a suburban church representative has come to the East Side and said, "We just want to talk."
Right.
And it's really as simple as that, right? So, like, that there's this outreach that's really Christ-centered that says, "We want to talk. I want to get to know each other. I want to see if there's space for us to walk together."
Mm.
And so before the meeting before the meeting was really around, what's the motivation? What do you think the motivation is? Why are we here? And then also there's a bit of concern in the city that, as Ryan indicated, there's been a lot of talk about the Buffalo Renaissance and Buffalo Renewal and all this other language, but where we live, where we pastor, where we reside, there we don't see evidence of that renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you take a neighborhood like the Fruit Belt that's right next to the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus,
right?
And you literally see Buffalo being built around you, and these nice shiny scientific buildings with people with lab coats and fancy titles and big salaries and high education and say, well, where's my place? And so there is a sense in the city that remains today that this renaissance isn't for people of color. And so if it's not for us, and our white brothers and sisters have long since fled the city in droves, then who is it for? Is it for folks who fled the city to now have an opportunity to come back to a city that's being built for them? And so what does that mean in the context of the suburban church? And so we had some very powerful meetings before the meeting. And I think Ryan took an appropriate posture of listening, of learning, and really being transparent with us. To the point where now we don't have to have the meeting before the meeting.
Or after the meeting.
Well, they used to be meetings after the meeting, so we're trying to interpret what actually just took place.
So let me ask you that. You said something earlier that just kind of piqued my interest, and it was we didn't know what he wanted because a suburban, white church pastor had never come out to talk to us. And what were some of your thoughts? Maybe, Andre, you can answer this. What were some of your thoughts as to what he might have wanted? I mean, what was in your mind? Like, okay, what's his motivation? What bounced around your head? Like, is he going to try to make his church look good off of meeting with us? Or I don't know. I'm just guessing, but so you can tell me.
I'm going to start by asking permission to be myself.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We would have it no other way.
And Ryan just shook. I'm just playing. Yeah. Ryan knows me, knows a lot about me now. We've built relationship. To be honest with you, going in, on the heels of, this is almost a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago now, on the heels of Renovation Church being planted and this big campus over there in Black Rock and... I really had, there's a lot of talk of the chapel, the suburban church, the Church of Western New York coming to invade the mom and pop shop. That the suburban church was going to be the Walmart that was just going to come and show us how to do it. And so there was some apprehension. There was some conversation, feelings. Well, what do they want? Are we about to be the token? Is that my one black friend? Is that my one white friend? And I'll be honest with you. Day one, from his words, that was dismissed by words. But then it came on by action as well. One of the biggest problems is that... We've never had the conversation, as my brother Vincent has said. We never had that. It was almost as two different worlds, you know. And now for that world to ask to come sit at a table, and not only sit at a table, but come on the east side and sit at the table, you know, that was kind of scary. Like, what are they about to do? Are they really about to come and start planting churches right here in our backyard? And when he used this term, it really soothed my spirit, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. He said, I want to walk hand in hand. I know that it's going to take time. And we went right into it, and no one held back. And I think that is what's going to be the most important thing. We can't hold back. Even when, if I can go back, because once you opened your mouth, when you're about to say, have a discussion, you pause for a moment, and then you say, with race, with what's really going on, it's always an uneasy feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care whose side you're sitting on. Yeah, I don't care if you are black, or I don't care if you're white.
You're right.
Once you're about to attack that or even discuss it, it is an uneasy feeling.
Yeah, because you're not sure how someone's going to take it or my intent.
You're really not.
I don't want to put a false intention out
there.
Even
when you have the best intentions in mind.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it took discussion.
Yeah.
It took time. It took meetings. It took going to breakfast and us arguing over who's going to pay the bill. You know, it took all that.
Right.
But now I can say I've gained a brother.
Yeah.
So to start off with, if we will all just take the time to stop and listen to one another and hear someone's heart and spirit, I really believe we will gain so many more brothers and not enemies and then have all these things running through our mind, like, I don't know what they're going to do. They got the money. They can just come and buy us out. can write a check and it's over.
You're going to be part of the mothership.
Well, that's the thing was, like, we, you know, one of the biggest concerns was, are you all coming in here to plant churches? And I thought, before the Lord, at no point had I ever thought about planting a church on the east side. I looked at the demographics and I thought, you know, like when we look to plant a campus or plant a church in partnership, one of the first things that we do is we just have to say, well, what is the demography? And then what is the church presence there? And who are kind of gatekeepers in the neighborhood, who are people of influence? You can't pull the trigger on planting something or putting something out there when you don't even know who the people of influence are. And you know, unfortunately, and Vincent has said this to me before, and it's really stuck with me. Part of what's so difficult about this conversation is, to be honest, people in the suburb don't have to have it. They don't have to have it. And there's just, and when you don't have to have a conversation, But you want to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. You have to be aware of what your posture needs to be going into the conversation that you don't have to have.
That's a really, well, really powerful point.
And
Ryan.
And if maybe if we come back into our next section, I'd love for Vincent to talk a little bit and Andre to elaborate on that too, because that is a significant challenge when half of the side of the table, you know, when we look at 1.2 million people in Western New York. If you took the demography of Buffalo, you took the demography of Niagara Falls and Lockport, those three urban areas, if you will, I mean, you're looking at 400,000 people of 1.2 million people. So at the end of the day, you got 800,000 that don't have to have this conversation if they don't want to. The church can lead the way in that if we do it right.
And have to.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that in just a minute or two. We're going to take a quick break. Before we do that, I want to let you know you're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, my co-host Ryan Cozy. We have Andre Clark and Vincent Clark on with us today. We're talking about, well, there's not really a title to what we're talking about. We're just kind of talking about the differences between city and urban context versus suburban context and kind of some of the racial issues, some of the issues that just really face the church that we can lead the way on. And it's going to get good, so don't you go away, okay? We're going to be back in about 2 or 3 minutes here on Christ Together Radio.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio, where talk show hosts and producers have hair. That's right, Boron. We got some hair down in here.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio here on WDCX. Radio that talks about real issues, about the church, about where God is moving, and about gospel saturation and throughout the region of Western New York. Christ Together Radio was kind of an idea that Ryan Cozy, my co-host sitting right here beside me, and I thought up just to kind of bring the reality of what God is doing in his church and what God is doing on mission and how we can help to influence and affect the culture around us. And so we're bringing you real life issues, real stories. Nothing's off the table, and we just want to have real honest conversations, which really applies to our conversation today on Christ Together Radio. By the way, you can listen to us every Sunday from 11 a.m. to noon here on WDCX. And you can also, if you want to catch programs from previous weeks or previous episodes, you can go to WDCXradio.com, click on Programs, Christ Together Radio, and you can get our podcast, kind of all the old programs, and see what you missed. And but today's is one you don't want to miss, so don't tune out and listen to what we're going to talk about. Before the break, we talked about some of the real issues that face the suburban versus urban church. That's a really fancy word for saying some of the white people in suburbia and the black church.
I love this man.
All right, let's just cut to the chase. We're talking about the white church in Amherst and the black churches downtown. And how can the two come together? And then some of the real issues that are facing us. Because, Ryan, you said something so profound. And what did you say? The suburban church doesn't need the...
Yeah, and it's not for me. And so it was just we were having, I think Vincent and I were, I don't know if we were having lunch when this conversation came up, but he had said before, like, hey, you know, one of the things that's so challenging about this is you all don't even have to have this conversation. And it just hit me like a sack of rocks, you know, and I thought, you know, hey, Vincent, why don't you take some time to unpack that a little bit?
Yeah.
Sure. And I want to clarify that our white brothers and sisters absolutely have to have the conversation. Mm-hmm. You just don't know it.
Yes. Right.
And I don't want to be belittling. And I hope you understand my heart. But it's sometimes I was just having this conversation with my daughter, and her diet is, you know. She's 11, and so she tends to prefer McDonald's and pizza and things that taste good, candy, things that taste good. It is counterintuitive to us as humans, as people, to embrace things that taste bad.
Yeah.
But are necessary for us to live.
Hmm.
And so the role of leaders, parent leaders, in the analogy that I'm using, the role of parent leaders is to deliver what sometimes we know doesn't taste good, but is necessary to receive all the nutrients necessary for a healthy life.
Hmm.
And so my daughter doesn't understand. At least she knows it conceptually, but doesn't understand it or embrace it in reality. And so you could talk to some folks who understand how issues of equity and diversity and inclusion of race reconciliation are quote-unquote important, but don't have to feel like they have to have the conversation in order to live a healthy life, a Christ-centered life in the church context, a faith context. But they absolutely have to, and just as the parent leader has to have that role in the home, we as leaders in Christ's church, we have to deliver what we know doesn't always taste good and makes people uncomfortable, but is necessary to live a healthy and full Christian walk. And that's the difference. And so there's a recoiling that happens because it doesn't always taste good. That makes having the conversation and actually coming to the table very difficult, but also very necessary.
And if I could, can I just add something to that? This is part of the learning, okay? So I'm coming from this is what I'm learning in that process is, it's so challenging when I think as I'm learning, people that are white, they say, well, yeah, racism's bad, but let's just move on from that. And I think what Vincent's saying is, no, there's a table here and there's some food to eat and it's not going to taste real good. But if we eat this, it's going to change our trajectory of understanding this conversation. And it's as a kid, who likes eating their salad, right? When there's pizza on the table. But I really agree. Like that, some of the most enlightening things that I've personally been discovering have been some of the most gut wrenching conversations to have. And people do it with great.
So what are some of those things, Ryan?
Well, I mean, this one in particular, just the realization that, and to clarify what Vincent was saying, he was saying like, yeah, people in the suburb, they don't have to have this conversation. Like, they can survive without this conversation, but they can't really spiritually grow and mature and be that salt and light of the gospel. I mean, that's what I'm thinking in this process. Like, if the church could get this right for the hundreds of millions of people. The U.S. is now the third largest mission field in the world. For the hundreds of millions of people that are in this country that are unconvinced of the gospel, in many respects, probably due to hypocrisy that they see, imagine if the church began to get this right.
Yeah. You know, Ryan, it reminds me, Jesus actually spoke about not having the conversation, and he spoke of it through the parable of the Good Samaritan, where people walked on by because they didn't really need to help.
Right.
But in order to be a gospel-centered Christian, you have to help.
Yeah.
Well, one thing you have to recognize, if you look at John 4:4 says, I must need go through Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus went to where no else went.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The one that they thought was half-breeds, dogs, mutts.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not willing to minister, if you walk over someone, then you're not being Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you're willing to say, I'm not going into the east side because that's a dumping ground.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the forgotten. Those are the rejects. In your own perspective, not yours, but in the perspective of that person's eyes, they're saying that is Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that the urban content is Samaria.
Right.
But Jesus said, I must go. This ought to prick our hearts.
Yeah.
I'm unwilling to fellowship. I'm unwilling to learn. I'm unwilling to listen. I'm unwilling to witness. So you're not going to witness to me?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to spread the gospel to me? But so you said saturate this one buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
But how is it one buffalo? How is it one buffalo when you won't come to Fillmore and Winslow?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's like, that phrase alone, that's become a popular phrase, one buffalo.
Yeah.
Because
right.
of the Pagulas with, God love what they're doing. I mean, they've done so much for those sports teams. But that phrase has started to get picked up in some places with the church partnership. And that's, what I've been learning, like to say one buffalo and not have this conversation, very offensive.
Can I share something?
Sure.
And I didn't get a chance to share it after the last meeting that we had.
Sure.
Because they used that same term there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was just me, Jeff Carter, Vince, Pastor Jeff Carter, Vince, and a couple of other African Americans that was in the room. How is we one buffalo? Where's the Hispanics? Where are those that are African, pure African?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Where are those that from the Native Americans? How can we be one buffalo when we won't go to Samaria?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And God has brought us into the spirit of reconciliation, right. The ministry. There must be some restoration. I'm not talking about a check.
Right.
I'm not talking about paying every African American because they were slaves. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
Because that's not going to help people.
Right.
That's gonna give some people some money. They're going to go blow it. But I'm saying, can we have a conversation to where we can knock out the fear of everyone?
Mm-hmm.
So that because... And it goes both ways. So because a white cop get out of a car, I don't have to fear him. Mm-hmm. And because I pulled over a black guy, I don't have to fear him.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have actually had healthy conversation,
yeah.
And we've talked about it. And we have, and I said this earlier, we are having these conversations out of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
And we should have had those before. We should have been talking about this before we started tripping over the stuff that we put up under the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Now America is tripping over our own garbage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so now we are forced. We cannot ignore this anymore.
Yep.
There is a powder keg up under America that if one, it is only going to take. Look at what happened if every city reacted like Charlotte, North Carolina.
Chaos.
What if every time you heard of a shooting, that was the reaction, that windows were busted out, that cars were tipped over, that fires was, we are under a power cage.
It hurts everybody.
It hurts everyone.
A couple of things.
Well, you know what?
Go ahead,
I just
Vincent.
I just want to say this real quick.
Sure.
And I want to pick up on what Ryan said. And I think the problem is that it's around this one buffalo thing. It's okay to be aspirational. But you have to recognize you have to be vocational as well. And when I talk about being vocational, I mean that vocation is, it refers to work.
Yeah.
You have to do the work.
Put the work in.
Yeah.
So to focus on aspiration without vocation is a recipe for disaster. And that's what we find ourselves in too often, because we have people who say they want a one buffalo, but aren't willing to do the work for a one buffalo.
Right.
That's huge.
And part of that work is going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's going to be tense. It's going to pick at scabs. It's going to cause bleeding. But I'm reminded of something that one of my mentors said recently at a conference Shepherd I went to. He said, if you're not bleeding, you're not leading. And that came from a book we were reading. And if you're not bleeding, you're not leading. And so we as Christians, we as those who are modeling the way of Christ to a lost world, we have to be willing to be uncomfortable. We have to be willing to bleed. And that's that counterintuitiveness that I was referencing earlier.
Yeah. Let me just add, a good example is like I was in a meeting last week, I think it was last week, and we have been, one of the projects that has been developing that we're really trying to get off the ground is an initiative in partnership with Houghton College to provide affordable, accredited education for pastoral ministers of the gospel in the cities. And so there used to be a program here called PCMP.
Mm-hmm.
That program, as far as I understand, it ran out of funding, and Houghton was no longer in a position, or they made a decision to not, maybe better to say, they made a decision not to fund it. So we've been really efforting to see that come back alive, and the funding arm of that, what we want it to be, is the Church of Western New York, right? But that alone, like that conversation, that's a heavy lift, number one. It exposes you to different lines of thought, different presuppositions that you have, all those things on how to get stuff done and who to lead and what that should look like, all those things. And to be honest, like, it's tiring, you know. And yeah. I was in a meeting last week, and God love them, Pastor Jeff, Pastor Bob Tice, Reverend Kim Gladden. You just a very healthy conversation, mm-hmm. but to be honest, like, I wept mm-hmm. because what some of the frustrations are decades worth of mistrust of Anglos. Just when's the bottom going to fall out of this? You know, maybe I ask a question about a funding arm or so how do we respond to this? Or, and the reality is there's this tension that's already there.
Yeah.
And it's a tension, to be honest, that has it's a tension that's there because it's never been dealt with.
Right.
And I just, you know, they asked to close out the meeting in prayer. And I go to prayer and I'm just overcome emotionally. Mm-hmm. I'm overcome because, number one, I see what they're saying. And number two, I'm just incredibly humbled because of the fact that what they're saying is true. And it's just a heavy lift. And I'm there in the conversation. But to be honest, I'd be much more encouraged if 50 other white brothers and sisters were there equally as passionate to see this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't feel that, there's times when you feel alone in that process. And you're looking at your black brothers and sisters going, this is just wrong.
Yeah.
Like, we need to invest in this. This is wrong that this is happening.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. We're having some really good discussion today. I'm Brett Larson, your host, and co-host Ryan Cozy sitting right here with me. Andre Clark and Vincent Clark are joining us. They're both from New Direction Christian Fellowship, and also Vincent from the Buffalo Urban League. And we're having a really, really good discussion about just how God is working across racial divides and racial contexts, I should say. It's not really a divide, a context in the community. And some really, really interesting issues. And one of the key things that I'm hearing, and I want to maybe go to this in our next segment, is the importance of listening.
Mm.
We all can say all kinds of words, but when we sit down and actually listen, boy, that listening is powerful. And Ryan, I think one of your first ideas going in there was to listen. So let's talk about listening, number one. And number two, I do want to talk about the tension. I want to hit a little bit more about the tension in the room. Whenever you're talking about this issue, it's always like, I always feel it myself, to be honest. Like, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to come across like I'm thinking something I'm not. So I do want to talk about that widely and openly. And I have some interesting stories about that, too. So we're going to be back in just a minute. Christ Together Radio. Keep us tuned in. And it's about to get interesting, I think.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson with co-host Ryan Cozy. We're talking today about the mission of God, which we talk about every week, but we're talking about it in context of urban, suburban, people working together across racial divides, what that looks like in some very real conversations that have happened over the past several years with Ryan Cozy and a couple of people, one of them being Andre Clark, who is the shepherd and pastor of New Direction Christian Fellowship, and his brother Vincent Clark, an elder at that church as well, and also with the Buffalo Urban League. And Ryan, before the break, we talked about the importance of listening. That just, it's kind of a theme that rolled through what we were discussing, the importance of listening to each other,
yeah.
but particularly those of, I'll say us, because I'm kind of a part of that world, in the suburban context, listening to our friends from the urban context, from the in the inner city, who are working in very, sometimes very difficult situations, and who may look at us as kind of not caring very much or whatever. And so I think we want to bounce this to Vincent, right, Ryan? I'll let you take it and then bounce it to Vincent.
So, this aspect of listening, and one of the things that I think is really important, like, I want our African-American friends here, I want their voice to lead on if there was a way for our white brothers and sisters, of which I am one, that we could understand a little bit better, what would that look like? And so we were a part of a conversation not very long ago, and it's a conversation I think that is powerful so long as it continues, okay? Not a one-off
right.
conversation, but the the building block to many more conversations. But and we invited folks from the inner city out to Cross Point through some relationships that we had, and the question was basically if our African American brothers and sisters in the city and our Hispanic brothers and sisters in the city, our minority brothers and sisters in the city, could explain to our suburban friends, our white brothers and sisters in the suburbs, what would you tell them? And that was one question that led to a 2.5 hour conversation of listening. But Vincent and Andre, maybe you could elaborate a little bit more on that and just suggestions that you'd have for us.
I'll go first. And this is very difficult. Andre, well, I call him Shep. Most people call him Shep, which is short for shepherd. That's his nickname. He asked for permission earlier to be himself. I won't be as polite. I'll just go ahead and jump out of the water.
Go ahead, man.
But there's a few things. First of all, posture matters, and historical context matters. So in terms of posture, we have to listen to learn, listen to understand, and listen to love. We have to listen to learn, to understand, and to love. And that's the posture, as opposed to listening to defend. For those of us on this call or this interview who are married, I'm sure you've been in a conversation with your wife where you feel like you have to defend a position as opposed to
defending
her.
No, never.
like
every day.
Raise your hand if you've been in that position, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And when we're talking about a conversation that's so wrought with historical context and that can be very uncomfortable and can cause a level of bleeding, it's very difficult to listen, to hear and learn, and to understand and love. It's very difficult, but it's very necessary, because there are some truths that if you're going to come to the table to have a conversation, you have to have an understanding of. And in the context of this country, is African Americans have been oppressed by Anglo in this country, and a lot of times in 2016, a lot of my white brothers and sisters will say, well, it wasn't me. I didn't own slaves. It wasn't me. I wasn't alive during Jim Crow. It wasn't me. Why can't we get over it? Because it wasn't me. And oh, by the way, we have a black president now, right? And so everything's good. We can just move on. Without acknowledging the fact that there is still institutional racism, that Anglos still benefit from a system of government, corporate system that was designed and driven to oppress people of color and people on the lower end of the caste system, if you will. And whether you were the creator of it or a beneficiary of it, you have to come to the table recognizing that there is a disparity there that informs the context of the dialogue. And if you're not willing to just sit in the historical context and just want to kind of bury your head in the sand and ignore the present condition that's been influenced by a tragic and oppressive history, then you're not coming to the table as kind of an honest broker. You're not coming to the table with a posture of humility that it takes to have that honest dialogue and to hear the heart of oppressed people. Because I know you don't like to say it, but right now, what Ryan has been willing to do is to have a conversation with oppressed people and not be defensive. Mm-hmm. Not be defensive that there are trust issues. Not be defensive that there is bleeding that has to take place. Not be defensive about the fact that for every 2 steps forward, you might have to take a step back. That's part of the process, and it's a very necessary process. So I think posture in your listening is important, but also having an understanding of the humility with the historical context that informs our present condition.
That's okay. I mean, that's
I don't really know that you can piggyback on that. Was like, so perfect.
I do see why you had a 2.5 hour conversation, though, because there's a lot of meat to grab a hold of there.
There is,
and it's hard because sometimes I think Ryan, in the world that we live in, I guess we see things from just different perspectives. I do. If I'm honest. You know, what Vincent was talking about, you know, about a system that I kind of look at it. I'm like, well, I guess maybe like and we have to be honest and come and listen to the reality that, you know, maybe it does look a lot different than what we've always thought it did.
Well, yeah. And so if I could just, I mean, one of the things that I would add to this is it. One of the things that has been very clarifying to me would be my position has gone from not I guess, like what you were saying,
right,
to
right.
I absolutely start to see this stuff.
Right.
And there's a righteous anger that happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing if you're willing to put yourself in a position of I'm going to go into another context and I'm going to go in low. I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to understand. Yeah. It's amazing what you'll learn.
Right.
Now, the challenge of that is the weight of it is overwhelming.
Yeah, and it's almost defensive just because you don't want to accept that because it's heavy.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's truly broken. But yeah. a thing that has helped me in this process, and I want to get it a little bit off of me after I say this. I want to get it back more to getting perspective from Vincent and Andre in this, is... I don't even know how to say it, but basically, I'm losing my train of thought.
That's what PhDs do.
Yeah, right? No, it had to deal with just the idea of coming into a situation where you're humble and you're low.
Right.
It just awakens you to the things that are wrong. And I know what I was going to say now. Mm-hmm. The thing that keeps me coming back to the table is I try to meditate on how diverse the kingdom of God is going to be when we get there. Now, it's a here and now thing, but it's in a thing to come. And when I think about how diverse heaven is, here's a reality that most Americans don't understand. There are more Christians in Africa than there are human beings in these United States.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you start to think about the diversity of the church in the world.
Think of the size of the Asian church.
Yeah, it's
huge.
It's but it's one of those things where until I focus on that.
Yeah.
You know, that's what brings me back because I don't want to get to heaven and just be like, oh my gosh, like I want to get more of a taste of it now. But to add to that, I also want the kingdom is a thing to come, but it's a here and now.
Right.
Well, I tell you, I get fired up because I want the East Side to have a here and now.
Hmm.
I want them to experience some of the things that I'm taking for granted in a first ring suburb, you know, by University Heights in Buffalo. I can hit a 3-wood to the city, but boy, that 3-wood is a major difference in what I'm allowed or afforded, or I just have the opportunity for. Mm-hmm. And Vincent's right. I've benefited from that and I need to recognize that. And I need to not be I can't be defensive about that. I need to try to seek to understand. Hmm. So I want to bring it back to them and see, you know, what else they would like to add to that. But
yeah. Well, Andre's going to join us next week. So let's let you know, we have about 5 minutes here left in the show.
Yeah.
So let's let Vincent give us some final thoughts and maybe bounce off what you said, Ryan.
Sure.
And go ahead, Vincent.
Yeah, I love that golf analogy you used, Ryan. It definitely is. You know, a situation that we are closer physically than we are in our hearts. In most communities across the country, the distressed communities are separated from the affluent communities usually by a railroad track.
Yeah.
That literally you can look over the distance, the close distance, and see close physical proximity, but a wide gap in terms of experience, in terms of understanding, in terms of perspective. and there's usually no vehicle that brings those two perspectives, those two experiences together. I said this when we had that conversation at Crosspoint. What I would want the suburban churches to know is, similar to what I said earlier, is that while they may think they can afford not to be engaged and that they do have a choice, they really don't have a choice if they want to live out the example of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
If our goal, if our mission is to be Christ-like,
That is,
then it's not a choice.
That is huge.
It's not a choice.
Vincent,
we have to take the choice away.
Vincent, I want to personally thank you, by the way. I know you're busy, and I think you have some meetings or stuff to go to. So I just want to thank you for joining us today here on WDCX as the general manager and also as a host of this show. I just want to thank you for opening up and being honest with us today. To me, that's huge. And before we go, we just have a couple minutes left. So I just want to pray for this conversation to continue, number one, and then for our region and for Western New York. So, God, I just want to I lift up all my brothers before me here, Lord, Ryan and Andre and Vincent, and I thank you that we were able to have a conversation today that's honest, that has a long way to go and probably could last many, many weeks and hours as to how we can work together and work together more and more to be an example of what reconciliation looks like, of what your kingdom looks like, Lord. And as we here on earth are an outpost of your kingdom, and your kingdom consists of every tribe, nation, and tongue, Lord, it's important that we all work together to fulfill your purpose and to fulfill your mission of the gospel. And but God, that can't happen unless we're willing to sit down and listen. So I ask that you would give us the strength. I ask for so many of our white brothers and sisters that are out there who just kind of go to work every day, go home, go to church, and just kind of live their lives. Lord, I ask that you would just maybe just spark some attention, especially with what's going on in our country, that you would just kind of allow them to come in low, as Ryan often says, and just come in with a listening heart to what can happen. And Lord, may the church be the example. May the church be the lead on what can happen in our country. And I would just pray for that. I pray that people would pay attention. And God, I do pray for our country. And I pray that maybe some attention to this by your church, finally, it's being forced on us. Lord, I think as Andre said, we're tripping over the rug of all the stuff we've put under it. Mm-hmm. And as that happens, Lord, may we come together and just have honest discussions for the sake of your kingdom. And we're going to give you all the glory for being in the midst of all of that. In your name, amen.
Amen.
Guys, I want to thank you for joining us today. Andre, you're going to be here with us next week and going to hang out a little bit, and we're going to talk more. And Vincent, thank you so much, man. And we have about 40 seconds. So anything else you want to say before you go? Or Ryan?
I just want to add, like, I'm excited about this, so long as it's a platform for more conversations. I think that's the thing, is like, it's not a one-off. It's a continual coming back to the table. And so this is one way we can do that. And I just want to say thank you for opening this up, because I think that's huge.
This is awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Vincent, now you got 30 seconds. Ryan stole some.
Sorry.
Hey, listen, aspiration without vocation is a recipe for disaster. Let's do the work.
All right. Let's do the work.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Christ Together Radio. Listen to us every Sunday at 11 a.m. Also, look us up online, WDCXradio.com. Go under programs, Christ Together Radio, and you can get all of our old programs. And we're looking forward to being back with you next week. If you have any questions about today's show or you want to comment, CTR at WDCXradio.com. I'm Brett Larson for Ryan Cozy, and have a great rest of your Sunday afternoon.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.